Smiling Faces the Podcast is a Defiantly Me production. To learn more, visit them on Instagram at Defiantly Me Productions. And that's Patriot Corner. Now.
Patriot Corner. Can't say I like that either.
But you've been listening to Patriot Corner, our new segment on Smiling Faces, your hit podcast about revenge. Getting revenge on those who have done you dirty.
Welcome back to episode 33 of Smiling Faces, the podcast. I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano, and we are executive producers of Smiling Faces, our hit show about two girls who discovered they're dating the same guy while working at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations and answer the question, instead of self-care, why not revenge?
That's my favorite question.
Ooh.
Always. Always with a little like, ooh, are we being mean? No.
No.
No, we're not.
No.
Hard no.
It's called boundaries.
How? Listen, we have been learning those. Let me tell you.
Yes.
What a process.
What a beautiful, beautiful process. You know, living in LA, when I moved to LA, I didn't know that the city, I didn't understand the energy of the city, which is a lot. The city takes a lot of energy to get through. To some days, LA just like has a mood and a vibe and a feeling. And I get that every city has that, but I feel like LA feels her feelings out loud and louder and prouder. And yeah, the boundaries, creating boundaries with the city are necessary.
Wow. Which I guess that can play into either, because I feel like the city always wants you going and doing things nonstop. So to make the active choice of, I'm going to stay inside, I'm not going to go to everything I'm invited, it's hard. Because I will say, as like an actor, for sure, it's very tough because you always have the what if syndrome. Yep. Like, what if going to that one show? What if I meet someone and then that would have been my chance, or it would have led to X, Y, and Z? There's always the fear of missing out on something because you never know if that was the place where you're going to meet the person or do the thing.
FOMO is real. Definitely here, because there's always something going on. There's always a way I can maximize my visibility to someone or create a better relationship or deepen a relationship with this person or that person. And there's so many options. I have to draw boundaries within myself and say, okay, Sundays are for rest or table reads, you know, Fridays are for laundry or doing a podcast. Oh, by the way, very important to say, it's 4th of July. Happy Independence Day.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Are we good for that?
We're patriotic.
Celebrating America? Yeah,
we're celebrating the right side of history. That's what we're doing. We're celebrating the people that are falling on the right side of history. We're celebrating raising up and, you know, shaking our fists.
Okay.
Remember, it's a hot protest summer.
That's true. So we do have a hot protest summer. We do have Zaddy Newsome. And we saw previously that New York did the right thing for their latest election. And they didn't go with the Cuomo guy, Andrew Cuomo. Andrew, yeah? I know politics. They didn't go with that guy because he's being spooky.
It doesn't sound like you do.
Welcome to Smiling Faces. I knew it was a Cuomo. We know politics.
Mm-hmm. We should definitely not make that our tagline.
We are a politics podcast.
No.
What is going on?
New York Times.
What's going
on? We've got this on lock. The Daily better watch their fucking back.
This is more like the Onion. This is the Onion. That's where we are.
Honestly, pretty lit. I'll take it. Onions are delicious. They add a nice bite to a meal.
They grow effortlessly. They keep away bugs or right-wing conservatives.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Okay, okay. We have got to get out of this territory. We are in a war. We have no business being in this land.
So I would like to take a moment to talk about the voting process. Okay.
No, more like voting on Love Island.
Dear God.
Right. Oh, chokehold.
Yes.
But I'm sending up a flare. Let's get out of this.
Be our beacon. Be our light. Guide us back to the safe zone, Mike.
Well, Sinners is going to come out on July 4th. I think that's a better use of your time.
Ooh, that is amazing.
Happy Let's get those Sinners streams Day.
Of Sinners.
That's right. Everybody, yeah, go
let's
home.
Support.
Don't light off your fireworks, even though they're so beautiful. Don't light off your fireworks. Stay in. Watch Sinners. Eat some, I don't know. I feel like a cake with an American flag on it is appropriate. This is. I don't know if you saw, there's an SNL sketch that Tina Fey is like, just don't worry about watching politics. Just sit at home and eat a cake with an American flag on it. And that's you doing your part.
Got you.
I saw that and was that, like, yes.
Alex,
yes.
I'm like, ooh.
Because
the way that I would walk around and see any kind of American flag thing, it's one of those things now where I think just with the way the country is, like, my butthole tightens when I see an American flag too much. I'm like, oh no, they mean me harm.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't do it.
But every time I look at the flag, I fight that feeling. And when I see our flag, I fight that feeling because I just keep saying to myself, and I do mean this, this is a season. Granted, an ugly, terrifying season. I'm not saying everything's going to go back to normal, but
yeah,
fumbling and struggling with our sense of patriotism when so much feels rife. And it's hard to stay positive. I'm not even staying positive. I'm just staying grounded. This is a season. Keep breathing. Keep grabbing the hands of the people that you love close, because it can't sustain this level. It might get worse, but it can't sustain this level all the time. So when I see the flag, I just keep taking a breath and saying, it doesn't mean that I can't still be patriotic for the things that I believe in this country. It just means that there's some people out there that are also waving that flag and saying some ugly stuff. But that's all right. People can wear the same shirt as me and be wrong.
And that's Patriot Corner. Now.
Patriot Corner. Can't say I like that either.
But you've been listening to Patriot Corner, our new segment on Smiling Faces, your hit podcast about revenge. Getting revenge on those who have done you dirty.
Ice. But
okay, we gotta back out. We gotta back out.
Anyway, yeah, I was like, anyway.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
We're waving flags. We're waving flags. Mike, you were supposed to be a lighthouse. You're supposed to be the guide to get us out of here.
I'm
trying. He tried with the Sinners.
I really tried with the Sinners of it all. I did.
We just
tried
broke.
To redirect. Yeah. You guys are off the reservation at this point.
If there is one thing you can count on with me and Victoria, it's that we will double down on something we shouldn't be partaking in.
And in my normal life, I would do the same thing. But somebody's got to keep the train on the tracks here.
That's right.
That's fair.
Look.
So instead of talking about the Middle East, we're now going to talk about David Zaslav. So for those that don't know, David Zaslav is the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, which is obviously one of the big studios that owns all the things that Disney doesn't. So this guy,
basically,
like, he has had a pretty inflated salary and he's kind of been on the hot seat, especially during the strikes. People were big mad at David Zaslav because they were like, so y'all can't pay the writers and the actors and all these people things, but David can have his pumped up salary and stock options and everything. So apparently the studios are listening, you guys, because David had his pay package for this coming year rejected. And so his pay is getting slashed and his stock options are getting slashed.
Oh,
BT dubs. Yeah.
I literally
like making like 22 million and it's getting like cut to like like, was it 9 or 7 or something? Like, I don't know what this number is, but it was like 22 million.
I would, let's see. Cut. That's a spanking. He, no, that's a full blown whooping. He's getting his, he's getting ass whooping. That's what he's getting. That's more than half. Right. Dang, David.
Let's see. So he is, I'm trying to find the exact, I just had it. Son of a bitch. So they've revised it now. Here we go. So in 2024, his pay package initially increased by 4.4% to a total $51.9 million, including a cash bonus of $23.9 million and $23.1 million in performance-based restricted stock grants. So that's all he was receiving at first. But he now, let's see, he will have a base salary of $3 million per year for the duration of the term as of now.
That's worse than I said.
Yeah. His annual cash bonus opportunity will be reduced to $6 million with the actual payout based on the achievement of performance goals, down from a cash bonus target of $22 million under his previous agreement. So he's taking huge cuts. For his salary, his cash, and his stock.
I am going to be honest with you. If you think about it.
Yes.
I mean, I guess, yes, Warner Brothers owns everything that Disney doesn't, including HBO and Max and whatnot. I just canceled my Max subscription because there's nothing to watch. What am I watching? Bill Maher? No, thank you.
Actually, wait, what am I watching? No, I don't like him. Ever since he made fun of Steve Irwin's death, it's been on site for me with him.
I did not see.
Do you remember that?
That.
Yeah, right after Steve Irwin died, he went dressed up as Halloween as Steve Irwin with a spear through his heart, like a stingray spear. So literally ever since then, I've hated Bill Maher.
Tasteless. Well, here's the thing.
Very.
There's not a lot happening on Max. Nothing that I can write home about.
Well, John Oliver, I do love Last Week Tonight. We did love Hacks. Hacks is done now, though, for the season. So friend of the pod, friend to life, and Einbinder.
Yeah.
So we will give Hacks love. But yeah, there isn't a ton. You know what it's reduced to now is maybe the HBO of it all, no. But Discovery, since they own all the HGTV stuff, I have been watching Ugliest Homes in America. It's a blast. Red as a treat.
I've not even heard of Ugliest Homes in America. Well,
it's so fun.
So that just kind of tells you the state of television in general. There's not really, it's summer anyway. There's not a lot of like hit TV shows. Nothing comes out in the summer anyhow, but there are some things shooting here as far as TV shows, a couple of films, not a ton of stuff. And I have to say, that gives me hope for what's coming in the fall. But cutting David's salary by this much doesn't give me a lot of hope for Warner Brothers. So
it sure doesn't. Well, you were off pod, Mike. You were mentioning that they were doing a separation potentially of, or not potentially, but doing a separation of HBO from Warner Media.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the rumor. I think that they're thinking about separating the two because partly attached with Warner Brothers is DC. So James Gunn, who just took over the DC film situation, that's about to blow up. They're about to have a big summer. Superman is about to drop. So like, I think they realize that the merger was just too much. Discovery has all their own stuff. Like, I think that's why they changed the name of the app and then changed it back and then changed it again. I think that's why he's getting his salary slashed, because you created all of this chaos for this company after the merger and you didn't handle it well. So I think they're just trying to separate themselves a little bit more and whatnot. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And I think also it can be justified because he's also over less. Because I see it now on Variety that they propose that they're going to split it into two companies. So it'll be WBD Streaming and Studios that Zaslav will be over. And then WBD Global Networks, which will be headed by the CFO, Gunnar Weidenfels. And that's supposed to happen next year. So maybe that's also part of it. It's like you're over less. So why should you get that full bloated package? But also, you've been fucking up, because what the fuck was HBO doing?
Great place to come get your Hollywood news if you're not paying attention, because that is a huge thing for people in this industry to know what's happening with the studios, what's happening with the streaming services. Something that we've been tackling, because the message that we keep hearing over and over again is produce your own work and send it out. Create your own audiences and keep your own art and share it the way you want to share it. Distribute. Why is distribute such a difficult word for me today?
Have you been saying it a lot? Did I miss that?
I haven't said it at all.
That was your first go at it.
It's because I couldn't remember the word.
Oh, I was like, I've been here present the whole time. I don't think I've heard her say distribute once yet.
It's because I couldn't remember it this whole time. I've been trying.
Were you like sounding it out in your head? Like Wednesday.
Distribution. Wednesday.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's Friday.
February.
That. I was like, oh no.
Oh God. Yeah, it's Friday. Happy Independence Day. I hope nobody's working today and everybody's tuning in and listening to the pod. We have to give you some minor updates about what's happening with Smiling Faces, which is that we are exploring our options of producing this ourselves, which you already know we're doing. We're producing this content for ourselves. We're turning it into micro content that can be easily digestible on a vertical or streaming platform that's outside of these large HBO whatnot. And we're going to distribute through smaller venues that are much more consumable. And that gives us the rights to keep our own work, which I can't think of a better way to do anything. This is the way now, because of YouTube, because of social media. This is how people are consuming content. Young people, old yes. people. My dad watches more YouTube Definitely. Than Bill Maher.
That's the thing. Like people are really locked into that. The only reason I made a face at first for verticals is because I think specifically of verticals as the weird things that are happening right now, where because that's the main thing that's getting shot are these weird soap opera-y short content videos. I'm like, we're not doing that. It won't be like a, what did you do? You're going to find out. Like, it's not going to be that stuff, because that, I'll be doing my makeup and watching those. I'm like, why the fuck am I still watching this? So not that, but
that's a great question though. When you're watching it, because if you guys have not seen this, on the They're socials, so when you're on Instagram Reels, when you're on TikTok.
Oh, damn.
It's spreading. It's catching. It's catching.
TikTok.
Distribute.
Distribute on TikTok.
When you are.
Damn. Damn. You want me to tag me in, coach? So
tell them what we're talking about.
So when you're on
the bullpen.
Yeah, it's like when you're on TikTok and there'll be these weird short videos where it's almost like you're watching a TV show or a movie, but they're very over dramatized. And it usually feels like a lot of conversation going around, typically pretty overacted. And it'll be like some big reveal that has to happen. It feels like you're watching Days of Our Lives on a Friday, where there's a lot of conversation about wait until you find out who so-and-so is. You're going to see, we're not going to do, it's a lot of buildup, and that'll go on for like 10 minutes. And you'll finally realize, wait a minute, nothing has happened. And then they'll catch you at the end and go, to find out the end of it, subscribe to or like pay to see the rest of that content. So that's a big thing that's happening now. Because I work with a girl, one of the Pilates, or sorry, Legree instructors, they're drilling it into me. One of the Legree instructors at the studio that I'm at does a lot of those. She acts in them. And she said that it's haunting because there's not a lot of stuff going on. And she said that when she was filming her last one, the entire crew filming it were all wearing Abbott Elementary hoodies. And she was like, do you guys work on Abbott? And they're like, yeah, normally. But when Abbott's down, we work on verticals because that's what's shooting. And I was like, fuck.
And that's where the money is. Quite frankly, people are paying to have that done. Those vertical, that vertical content, the truth is it's all very tropey. And so what people are eager, that, what do they call the instant gratification, that like dopamine hit, is that you're watching knowing that, you know, the nerdy girl is going to take off her glasses, shake her hair loose and become beautiful. And then the hot guy, hot jock is going to like tell her, oh, you're beautiful, and take her to the prom instead. And we know how that ends. So you watch that content going, is it going to end the way that I want it to end, or the way that I am trained to believe it's going to end? And then part of our hearts are like, or will it be different? Will this time be different? And that's that dopamine hit. That's that swipe, swipe, swipe hit that we're always like looking for. And they found a way to feed it to you, but keeping your eyes glued to the screen. And it's terrible content. It's so bad.
It's so bad. The acting is out of pocket. Yes. But my friend did say, she's like, it's not my best work, but they also kind of push you to overact. She did say the pay is not bad. She gets like couple thousand to do it. She said the crafty is bussing. Like, it seems like a good time. I just know my reps would kill me if I did it.
Did bad acting gig. Listen, I read a book when I was 21. It's called How to Work as an Actor. It's just like that simple, by Kay Callan, C-A-L-L-A-N. When I was like 21 years old, I read this book. And in the book, it said, look, not everybody's going to be Heath Ledger. Not everybody's going to be Daniel Day-Lewis. And you can still have a fully fledged working career as an actor if that's what you want. So if you want this business, if you want to work as an actor, you can make the money to do it. And this is one of those ways. And there's a lot of like turning your nose up at quality work, but come on. Think of artists who do paintings and who do prints and who do digital artwork. Think of the way that people are designing with AI, and that it is being consumed on a monetary basis, because whatever it is that you're outputting, people still want to pay money for. So I have no shade to this, to your friend who's continuing to earn a dime as an actor, continuing to maintain her lifestyle. Right. Including the Abbott Elementary folks, continuing to keep it up in between show seasons. It's, you're working. There's a lot of people who aren't showing up to work. So I don't know. I think it's great. When I read that book, I was like, okay, I can do this business, because you just got to keep working.
It's at least keeping you in the game for sure. I think there's something to, if you have the mindset of understanding, this is a check that I am earning. I am staying busy. I am working. Because I think sometimes you can, especially if you've worked on something like the caliber of Abbott Elementary, and then you go work on something like this, you're going to be like, damn, am I still in it? Like, you probably will feel a sense of separation from tactilely the work, like the good work. But yeah, it's like usually people switch like commercials or something. But yeah, I feel like there would be a sense of, oh no.
It's the same way in radio. Like, I worked in radio. I worked in one of the top 10 markets in the country, right? And then, you know, I went to go work on a country station that's a number one in Frederick County, but not in the nation. So it's like, you go, wow, they had all these perks at 10, at the top 10 station, and now I'm working with outdated equipment here at this station. But it's not about that. It's about me showing up and working. That's what it's about. They're going to pay me to show up. I'm going to take that. So sometimes you're not going to be in the top 10 market. Sometimes you're going to be in the bottom market.
I would even venture to say this. What other industry is somebody saying, oh, well, you don't work at the highest level grocery store. You're not at the Whole Foods. You're just working at Kroger or Ralph's, you know, like it's a grocery store. Or even in the tech industry, it's like, oh, I know people who are working for Microsoft and they're miserable, but they are doing software development, which is something that they believe in. Or people who are working for these sexy startups, you know, Coinbase or whatnot, and they are making great money, but it's always tenuous. Like, what's going to happen with this company? You know, in this acting industry, I have a lot of actor friends that will turn their nose up at really good, solid work. And I can't tell you how many industrials I did, terrible videos about, you know, just reading off a teleprompter for human resource training videos that paid my rent so that I could go down to New Mexico and audition for a Coen Brothers movie or go down and read for stuff and work on things that Bob Odenkirk's in. So
right.
I'm just saying, like, as far as the industry goes, you can get the work, get the work. That's why what we're doing, making this project, sure, do we want to raise, you know, $150,000 to shoot this episode? 100%. And yet, if we scale it back, we can make 6 different projects and we can make a whole season of episodes, 10 episodes maybe of a web series and still get a lot of eyes on it. So if you're wanting to work, do it. Don't worry about,
don't worry about,
oh, am I working at the Whole Foods of the industry? Am I doing Abbott Elementary or am I working on the 21st season of Grey's Anatomy? And a lot of people love the show Grey's Anatomy, but it's in 21 seasons. Like,
but what you're talking about is a mentality. It's mind. It's your mind, right? Like what you're talking about is very much a mentality. Do you have this mentality where you're like, listen, I'm getting work. I'm grateful for the work. It's not going to be an Oscar winning performance, but it gets the job done. It pays the bills until I can get to that point again, or until I get to that point, period. So it's just a mentality. So you got to change your mentality in there. So that's kind of where we're at this point.
Which I have to explain that so many times too, because sometimes talking to on the actor level, other artists it's such a slog sometimes, because I think there's always this conversation that comes from a place of lesser. And so many times I have a lot of actor friends that come up to me and are complaining about the industry, this and the industry, that, and there's nothing that's going on and I'm not booking and blah, blah. And I'm like, you have to reframe it.
Yes.
You have to see it as, I was like, one, even getting the audition is huge because there's probably like 5,000 people that are submitted for that. So even getting the audition to the chance to do it is dope. And if you get a call back, fam, that's crazy. That means of all the people that they saw from the people they pulled in, they liked something that you did. And like, once you get down to it, who knows? Like, it's not up to you at that point. Cause I always bring the example lately to one friend that I killed a callback. Like, I know I did. Cause the director was just like, yeah, this is hilarious. He goes, I don't have any notes. He's like, I just want to see you do it again. Do something different. I don't know. Have fun. And that was the only note. He's like, I'm just having a blast. Did it. Apparently my reps got calls immediately being like, they want to pin you. And I was like, yes. And I didn't get it because the client wanted someone else. Some suits over the brand were like, no. Like, you can't control it. It's hard because it does feel like it's a rejection of you, but it is an emotional attachment to the thing. But you have to kind of release that and be like, I got to have fun. I made that dude laugh. What a treat. And see it that way.
There's two perspectives. Either A, you see every audition as the opportunity to perform because auditioning is the job, or putting together your cinematography reel is the job, or writing that first draft until you get to the words, the end, is the job. That's the job. When you get paid, that's just the frosting, you know, that's in my corporate job when it's Friday at noon and I get to go home, but I still get paid for the whole day, you know, like that's just like the bonus, you know, but the job is like getting up and getting in the car and driving to work on Monday morning through 4:05 traffic. Same thing. So you have two ways of looking at it. One is the job is to audition. So that's going to be your very best work. And all you get is a minute. I'll never forget this audition that I did. The guy, he held his hand up and he was like, my hand is representative of your son skiing down a mountain. Just watch. And then he moved his hand like this. And I was like, you know, and like it was the most ridiculous and awful audition in the world. I'll never forget how dumb that audition was. And yet it was an opportunity to act. And the other way that you look at it is it's a business and you're selling t-shirts. But in this business, the t-shirt is your face, your voice, and your body. That's it. It's a business. So therefore, if you're selling t-shirts and somebody doesn't like the purple t-shirts with the sparkly unicorn, then you got to sell the red t-shirts with the white letters on it, even though the red t-shirts with the white letters are boring. And in this metaphor, that's like your branding, you know? So anyway, we could go on a whole topic about that. But I like this. I like that we've kind of transitioned into this sort of motivational, but more importantly, it's kind of a grounded, rational. That's kind of our energy today, is that we're just like, all right, here's where we are in this industry right now. People are making their own work and they're happy to have whatever work they can get, which is just where we're at right now. So it's the perspective, like you said, Victoria, you're so smart about that. Like, okay, we can't raise 150K to shoot this with, you know, three camera setup and, you know, two location moves a day and all that. So what can we do? Because we're going to make
it. Yeah, got to be a little practical. But yeah, I was like,
sometimes you have to set your own table. Like, I felt that way trying to get into radio. And here's the thing. I wasn't always a producer. I'm talent. So I was in entertainment, not an actor, but I understood the entertainment side of that situation. And so I couldn't get in radio because it's hard to get into radio. People are there for years. And so I created my own podcast. I set the table for myself.
Yeah, you did.
Because I needed the reps and I needed to get better. And I needed to make sure that when I had the opportunity to be on radio, I was prepared as well as possibly I could, you know, do myself. The rest of it, I'm going to learn on the job. But like, it's just sometimes you got to do it yourself. And with the show and the series, we're just going to do it ourselves. Like, we don't need permission from anybody else to do this. We're just going to get it done. And that to me is like the thing of true power, is when you start creating for yourself as opposed to waiting for someone to give it to you, then that's true power, true control. And that's how you own it, in my opinion.
And you feel more accomplished, because I feel like the lot of people, of actors and different talent that I've met who are miserable and upset and stuff about and humming and puffing about things are usually the ones who are only auditioning. They're not involved in other things. They're literally waiting for an email to get a chance to audition. They're not seeking out opportunities. They're not writing. They're not exploring other things. They're not doing characters on Instagram. Like, there's different things you can do to still feel creative. And the people that usually are upset are the ones not doing any of those things. Like, I'm too busy to be upset about the industry.
Yeah, that's true. Victoria
doesn't sleep. A bitch is tired. I can't be upset.
Victoria don't sleep no more. She's too busy. On that, so you are so busy, Miss Thing. I think we need an update on Whole Foods. Can we get updates? Because things have been going on long enough now that maybe it's like, oh, do we need to behave and not?
No, we still use his nickname. Oh, I was like, no, I thought you were going to say don't use his nickname. I was like, no, we're using the nickname.
Oh, no. Just like, can we talk about him still? I don't want to, you know, he's still on the trial basis.
He is. And he knows that. So that's been very clear. It's been interesting because he asked me recently, do you talk about me on your podcast? And I went,
oof.
Yes. And he goes, what have you said? And I was like, just like that I met you at Whole Foods and that you're handy and nice to me. And I was like trying to like soften it. And then I'm like hearing back in my head all the other shit I've said. And I was like, and just like some of, you know, like challenges that we're working through of just like learning each other. Like I smoothed it over and he goes, huh. I kind of want to listen to it. I was like, you don't have to.
Nope. Not necessary.
It's like, no, don't do that. He's like, I'm really curious now. I was like, you shouldn't do it.
Don't
listen. Yeah. So hopefully
it sucks. The podcast is terrible. Don't
it's
listen to
garbage.
It.
Garbage.
It sounds horrible.
It's really not.
There's nothing of sustenance in here. Yeah. It's just bullshit. Don't even listen.
Super boring. Oh yeah. Nothing at all interesting. So, listen, when I was seeing Target, who we lovingly referred to as Target before he blew it all up and made a mess out of his life, he said to me as we were breaking up, he said, are you going to talk about this on the podcast? And I was like, no. And then by the time that conversation ended, I was like, I am absolutely going to talk about this on the podcast. You listen, if you behave well, if you keep your nose clean, I will not talk about you on the podcast. But if you are going and misbehaving and you're going to be sleeping with other women and you're going to be messing around, then you get talked about on the podcast. So Whole Foods, keep your nose clean.
I love y'all. Y'all are real nice because I've been doing this long enough where I don't care. I don't care. My family knows. Like Bonnie listens to the podcast. Yeah, Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. Like, my family, shout out, Bonnie.
When I got into radio and podcasting, I was like, listen, guys, if there's something specific you don't want me to talk about, you need to tell me. Otherwise, it's all on the table, baby. Yeah. You guys are way too nice. Cause I'd be like, yeah, that motherfucker's stupid. Yeah. Like, you know, he done fucked up.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think that we're nice about it just because eventually I would like to not burn all the bridges, only the bridges that deserve to be burned. And sometimes you don't know if that was a bridge you should burn until it's time.
Fair. I think also it's being a little bit mindful of the fact of, like, for us, like, we're in entertainment and different stuff, so it makes sense. It's like, oh yeah, we share our things. But because at least like Whole Foods is not connected to entertainment at all, like, maybe he's private and like I'm oversharing about his life, or he's just like, he's calling me right now.
His ears are totally burning. That is so.
He was like, you talking about me?
He's, I know, literally, right? He's literally calling you right now. I kind of want you to answer.
I can tell you exactly how it's going to go. He's going to go, hey, baby.
It's too soon to bring him into the podcast. Yeah, like, too soon. We probably have to get some sort of like NDA or something, some sort of release or something signed. You know what?
Yeah.
I'll say this right now. If he doesn't want you to talk about him on the podcast, then he shouldn't be bothering to date you at all, because men know, and ideally, in a perfect world, women should know eventually too. Men know if they tell you a secret, if they tell their girl a secret, if they tell their partner a secret, doesn't have to be a girl, all your girlfriend's going to find out, because anytime a dude says anything to me, boom, I'm with the council. Like you say,
yeah,
hey, ladies, let me run this by you. Is this crazy?
Oh, yeah. There's a short list of people that if someone goes, you can't tell anyone, I'm like, absolutely, except for my short list. You're correct.
Yeah, obviously.
So like, even my...
Good thing for me, Lucy ain't got no friends, so I'm good. I'm stop-gapped.
She got somebody. I am air-gapped. She got somebody.
Her family, but it became too complicated, so she stopped telling her family stuff too, so I'm safe. Fair. Mark me as safe.
Yeah,
I will.
This, but also,
I will say,
you guys are all this whole everybody listening right now is part of the inner circle, and now they all are in on what's happening. So you might be safe, but maybe not because you got Victoria and I, and we're going to spill all your secrets, like about the foot, the webbed feet.
About your webbed feet, yeah, that's everywhere.
Yeah,
now.
that's not a thing. Yeah, we're not gonna.
You're not beating the allegations, Mike.
There are no allegations to be had because I don't have webbed feet, yo.
The inner circle knows. Ooh. They already know. The council knows. Everybody listening right now has already heard about your webbed feet. They know.
Unless you're a boss bitch, like how, where you don't care that people know that you've told all the things, which is my friend Lindsay, where the guy that she was talking to for a while, they ended up being in a full-blown relationship after this. And I might have said this before, but she dated a guy who sent her a dick video where he purposely was like, had a hard erect penis, folded his dick down and let it like flick like boing back up. Why he sent her that, we don't know. But as soon as he sent it to her, she sent it to me. And I immediately...
Fucking silly. That's some silly shit.
And I tell you, as soon as I received that video, I was on the floor as a barista and I went, you guys want to see something funny?
Yes!
And I showed everybody.
running, look at this, look at this.
So anybody. His nickname, here and out, was Flick Dick.
Obviously.
We only called him Flick, and then Flick for short. But there was a time when I called her and I was like, hey, what are you up to? She's like, in the car with Flick. And I went, does he know we call him Flick? And she went, yeah. I went, bitch.
No shame.
He's in on the gag. That's the thing.
I cannot.
So he completely knew. And I was like, so he knows why. She was like, yeah, he knows that you know. And I was like, whoa.
PSA to men, if you send a dick pic, other people, I know, they're all excited. He's probably like, good, I'm glad that you showed your girlfriends, but I'll tell you who I show all my guy friends, all my gay guy friends get all of the dick pics that I get. And granted,
there you go.
I haven't gotten a dick pic in a while. I think the message is out. It goes along with like, try not to take a picture of yourself catching a fish and putting it on your Bumble profile. It's fine. We love the fishermen. I just don't want to see it first, like first impressions. Like, we love that you fish, yeah, but just don't put it in your profile. However, think men are slowly starting to get the message. Unsolicited dick pics is actually truly a crime. It is sexual harassment. And
yes.
And if you send me a picture of your dick, I'm not showing it to my girlfriends. I'm sending it to all my gay friends. Anybody that's
like, what do y'all think about this one?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's one to store in the locker. You know, just if you enjoy it, keep it, put it in the folder on your phone that you have to put a password on. Like, here you go. Happy to share.
There it is. Yeah.
I mean, it didn't stop Brett Favre. So I just watched that documentary the other night.
I haven't seen it yet, but our stand-up comedy coach is in it. So you saw Jen in it?
I did, yeah.
Really gorgeous woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our stand-up coach.
I know who Jen Sturger is, but Brett Favre, that's the guy you're talking to right there, Jess. That's the guy.
Brett, first of all, can I tell you, you don't deserve to have a documentary made about you if you've sent a dick pic. People, if you've sent a dick pic to unsolicited, you don't deserve a documentary made about you. However, since this is the world we live in, Brett, knock it off. Grow up.
Unless it's a doc.
Stop it.
About how you nasty. Because there's plenty of Diddy docs now because he nasty. That's a nasty man.
Yeah, but he doesn't deserve the attention. We should do to him what we do to the people that were like, don't say their name. You know, like I want him to disappear like Matt Lauer did. You know, although I just said Matt Lauer's name, but Matt Lauer is hiding on an island in New Zealand. Stay there. You know, like, please.
Right.
Diddy, go away.
Although I did see a funny post online that said they were talking about Diddy like a vampire. And they said the only way to truly kill Diddy is to drive a dildo through his heart. And I screamed.
Take that, Diddy. Take that.
Listen. On that note, because we can't top that, I got to know what your smiling faces moment is for the week. What have you guys been grinning and bearing it through? Victoria, you first.
Oh man, I've got one. So it harkens back to a previous conversation from a few episodes ago, but I've now had a moment where a person that I deeply respect at the office, who's had my whole heart, has turned and showed a side to me that I will never recover from. So we talk politics, we talk all the things. However, she said something so egregious to me this week, which was her favorite water is Dasani and Aquafina, and I will never recover from it. I went,
yeah, you got to cut her off.
Never been so disgusted by a human being in my life. I turned to her and went, what did you say? And she was
like, domestic terrorism. Yeah, you can't do that shit.
Thank you. I was like, that is the most, I hope you know that that's universally not what people say about those waters. And she went, what? She was like, I love that water. She goes, you know what I hate is that Fuji water. And I was like, you mean Fiji? You mean Fiji water?
She's like, yeah. Not bringing the Fuji's into it. Not early 2000s.
What an ignorant take. What a very ignorant take.
She said that she thought Fuji water tasted like tap water. And I went, what are you saying to me? I was so disgusted. It's like, we can be on different sides of the political spectrum, but you will not say that Dasani and Aquafina are your preferred waters. I saw a different light in her. I fought through it. I tried to hold back my rage. And I think I did a good job of it. But I knew to never trust her again because her taste is clearly gone.
I applaud your resilience and your patience in that moment.
Thank you.
Because I feel you on this. us water people.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to hold the line.
Look, it was really hard for me. It was a really hard day.
As the only person on this podcast who will never, ever have any kind of foot in this race. I don't know what the saying is.
No water snobbery.
We have a stance on this show. It was one of our most popular posts on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube Shorts. I hear you all. Dasani and Aquafina are trash. Open Water, Fiji, if you're interested, we're totally down for sponsorship, okay?
Yes, because Dasani tastes like someone spit. I hate it. There was a time, I think I said it before. No, I said it before in our last water talk, never mind, about Arrowhead. I instead swallowed my own spit instead of buying an Arrowhead. Like, I won't do these waters. That's how I survived and overcame oppression and smiled through a hard time.
So sorry that you had to go through that.
You know what? Thank you, sis. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for this.
No, thank you. Thank you for the share.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Yeah, total.
Mike, what about you? What's your smiling faces moment?
Her name is Hurricane Birdie. And I love her very much, but she's crazy. And so my wife and I are grinning and bearing it through sleep deprivation, teething, the whole nine. So, you know, Hurricane Birdie, that's what I'm grinning and bearing it through.
Puppy it's a real special time. You'll look back on this time and just think, oh gosh, remember how special this moment was?
Yeah, we thought it. I looked at Lucy. I was like, it feels like we've been here for a month. And she's like, it's only been 2 weeks. And I was like, shit, we got a whole nother like 8 weeks of this shit.
Listen, you know, our fans are hot, hot, hot for more pictures. So please send over. Show us Hurricane Birdie. We
love
her.
We got plenty of them.
We love her. We love Birdie.
Yes. Drop them dog pics. Yeah,
that's right. You know what?
Weird transition, but it's like dog pics, Jess.
I'll tell you what I'm grinning and bearing it through this week. Last summer, I've spoken about my situationship last summer, and Victoria lovingly referred to him as bag of farts. And
yep.
My God, when the old situationship comes knocking, it's just like, oh God, it's just a reminder of my bad taste and bad choices. Just a lot of, like, I'm grinning and bearing it through my own bad taste and bad choices last summer. And the reminder coming back that it's like, hey, it's summer again. Like, go away. Leave me alone. We don't need.
He boomeranged back on you. He boomeranged back on you, didn't he? He was like, I'm coming right on back.
But just so you all know, I ducked. I've not caught this boomerang. I'm grinning and bearing it through just the reminder of my bad choices last summer. This summer, and it's official, I'm keeping my nose clean. I'm staying out of the business of man. Mm-hmm. Just okay. We're good. I'm keeping it after last week's salsa dancing debacle and having some dude pull a fast one. I'm just like, okay, I get it. We're done, universe. I'm going to start reading books and collecting cats.
reading books and collecting cats.
You should go. There's a very specific bookstore that you should go to then, because they have loose cats around the bookstore.
Oh, I've heard
over
of it.
Burbank.
There you go.
Sadly, I am pretty allergic to cats, so it would be.
Oh,
a
so
lot
you're trying to
suffering.
Take yourself out?
It's a slow, painful death. Just like giving up. Just giving up in general. Just like forget
it. There it is.
Yeah, that's it. Well, listen, I hope everybody's having a super happy, sexy July 4th. I hope that all of you are having a hot protest summer or a hot girl protest. But if you need a little giggle, Victoria, you want to tell them about your show tomorrow?
Yes. My team, the Idris's Elbas Improv Group, a part of the Affirmative Reaction Collective, will be doing improv at the Broadwater Theater under the Hit Comedy Theater Collective at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. So come through for some laughs from improv and stand-up. And if you're still like, hey, I want to touch more, then also Sunday, July 27th at the Elysian Theater at 5 p.m., I will be a part of a whole bunch of short plays written by dear friend Deck Metellus for his collective of Beer and Bedtime Stories. We'll be doing a bunch of his fan favorite short plays and working and having those performed. So come on through for laughs and feels and all the things.
And of course, you can find those links in our bio. I have to say, when you said if you're looking for a touch more, I heard if you're looking to touch more, and I got a little tingle there and was like, oh, what are you offering, Victoria?
Definitely heard touch more. Yeah, I was like, what are we touching? Ooh, I'm married. I can't be touching shit.
Ethically, no. I'm kidding. We do not condone. That's the whole point of this web series.
She about to get me fucked up. Is what happens. This is what's gonna happen. About to get me fucked up.
No foul play.
This is an anti-cheating. No, anti-cheating podcast over here.
We want to.
I'll stab a bitch if you cheat on her.
We want to hear all about your anti-cheating. Come find us on our socials. We know you love us. We know you want to share us with all your loved ones. So please, if you haven't yet, smash that like and subscribe button and find us on Instagram at smilingfaces_series. You can also find us on TikTok at smilingfaces_series. You can find us on Facebook at Smiling Faces Series, no underscore. And then, of course, we have a YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/@SmilingFacesSeries.
We also have an official website. It's smilingfacesseries.com. Make sure to hop on there and sign up for our newsletter to get the latest information of what's going on with Smiling Faces outside of this here podcast. Also, shout out to our fiscal sponsor, Inclusivity Media, and producer Mike Bryant and Defiantly Me Productions.
I hope you get some sleep, Mike.
Yes. Yes, you
Happy
deserve.
Happy 4th of July. Let them eat American flag cake.
Ew.
Weird flex.